Hey there, hi there, ho there. Welcome to We Don't Know Anything.
It's a very clever name.
Yeah, also accurate. It's a podcast where we talk about something we don't know about. I am Cody, out here in sun slowly setting Orange County, California. And joining me from the center of the Gator Nation is Jamie. Say hello, Jamie.
Hey, it's been so long we don't know anything about our cold open either.
Cold open, just like SNL.
Our opens are always hot. We got those hot takes.
And then our door, firing
the hot takes from Ybor is Brandon.
Wait, I'm not in Ybor. I'm in St. Pete.
Yeah, same thing.
Whoa.
Hey, he didn't say Pinellas. We're fine. Get down.
It's true. He didn't say Pinellas Park, so I don't have to, you know.
Put the lamp down. We're all family here.
I will break things.
Yeah, probably.
All right. In lieu of our usual cold open, do you guys know anything about rocket science?
No, not the slightest.
But I think you do.
Yeah, so that was, you know, that's one of the things that I grew up around. I don't know anything about it. I don't know enough about it to disqualify me from this podcast, which is good. But I did grow up on the Space Coast. I went to astronaut high school, which to me,
I mean, I grew up on Space Coast too. Like, yeah, whatever, Cartoon Network.
I grew up like across the river, like my window.
I grew up on Space Ghost Coast.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So. Yeah, so to me, growing up, astronaut high school was just one of the two high schools, and I went there, and you know, we went to college, and a friend of ours would always flip out. What? Astronaut high school? Like, yeah. So
who was that?
That was Tana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very excited. But I feel like Tana. Flipping out about astronaut high school is like flipping out about astronaut ice cream. Like, like, oh my gosh, astronaut ice cream, and then you take a bite, and you're like, that's just dry. Not as tasty ice cream. I feel sad inside.
That's just terrible.
It's terrible.
Astronaut high school was marginally better than that, but hey. But no, that actually, my dad and my stepmom both worked out there, and that was always like one of my dad's prime dad jokes was like, well, it's not rocket science, but if it were.
Yeah. That felt like something I imagine your dad would say.
It's definitely something his dad said it in his like wedding speech for Jamie's sister about like it doesn't take a rocket scientist to pull this off, but like, oh gosh, no.
So which character was your dad in Hidden Figures, Jamie?
I haven't seen it, so I can't speak.
Said but, Virginia.
Yeah.
What?
My dad's also not a beautiful African American woman, you know.
True.
I know that's hard to tell. So,
I guess it could be metaphorical. I mean, you know, like the Shack or something like that. You took a hard left turn real quick.
Yeah. All right. Let's try to actually let's talk about the science for like 5 minutes, and then we'll talk about beards. Like
that. I don't know. Well, I was thinking like rocket science, like. Have you guys seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
I've seen the first one. I'm still a few movies behind in the whole MCU, so didn't run out to the theaters to watch Volume 2.
Volume 2is really good.
It's really good. Dave Bautista makes me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
So
if you recall, one of the things that I really love about Dave Bautista's character Drax and that is that he's super literal. And I saw an article, and we may have talked about this. I can't remember if we did. So stop me if we did. Is I saw this article about this kid that was in a hospital and like loves Drax because he's got this mental condition or something where he can't like get euphemisms and he can't get figures of speech. So he's super literal. And so he saw Drax and he's like, oh, it's someone like me.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I was like, oh. That warms the cockles of my heart.
Okay.
That's a real name.
Okay. Yeah, that's a strange turn of phrase. Look, cool.
But yes, it warms my heart.
Mm-hmm. Dainty leash, yes. Brandon. Dainty leash.
It's a small heart, just like the Grinch.
So, what did you want to bring up about Guardians of the Galaxy, Cody?
Rocket.
Oh.
Main character.
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah, Rocket Science. Like, it's the science of blowing things up. I think he's pretty good at it.
Rocket Raccoon definitely has a starring role in Volume 2, and Bradley Cooper is really good.
That makes me happy because that was one of my favorite parts of the first one. You're making me kick grass!
There's a funny story. We have a for those listening, we all have a mutual friend who I'll just call him Charlie because that may or may not be his name. So this person who may or may not be named Charlie he was telling me a story recently how in his office they say that like his spirit animal is a raccoon for whatever reason. He's just like mischievous. But it's like you'd have to be somewhat of a foul raccoon. And so like maybe like Rocket Raccoon. this guy also tends to make jokes like, if you do something to me, I will poop in your pillow. And that's like been a running joke for him for a while. So in the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie, Rocket Raccoon threatens to put some poop in a pillow. And I was talking to him, he was like, it was the most surreal moment ever.
You even said that like Rocket.
pretty perfect.
What one of the things I liked about watching out for Guardians of the Galaxy coming out is all the people making jokes about Neil deGrasse Tyson, like going to see the movie and criticizing everything non-scientific about it. I know we've talked before about like me watching Star Talk, and he is really funny about that because he's down to earth and he's a good communicator, but he also can, you know, particularly his presence on Twitter, if either you follow him, he just has a lot of, you know, well, actually in him. And, it actually was really funny. He was good natured about it. He tweeted, I think it was like opening weekend, maybe opening night, said something about, I guess I have to accept, you know, the audible explosions in space because I've already accepted the bipedal talking artillery wielding raccoon.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain level of suspension of disbelief that it assumes, right. Considering that there is a small walking and talking tree and a living artillery wielding trash panda.
To which somebody promptly tweeted back at him a picture of a raccoon standing on its hind legs. It was like, what'd you say about bipedal?
So apparently I heard something about like how the term trash panda like originated in a Reddit forum. And somehow James Gunn like just thought that was hysterical. And that's how you hear the term trash panda come up in the movie.
I've never heard that term, but it's awesome.
This, yeah, I feel like I had heard it before. It's also not an inaccurate description of what a raccoon is.
Bringing us back momentarily, being the Neil deGrasse Tyson of that, another thing that I've enjoyed is people like playing off of that, like, well, actually, habit of his. Like, there's a really, really dumb, I can't remember what the account's called. I think it's like Fred Delicious. I've sent a couple of them to you, Brandon, because you would appreciate his sense of humor. But I think he's a Brit from a couple of the things he said. But there was one that he posted that was like, you know, kid talking to dad at bedtime, like, Daddy, is the moon made of cheese? And the dad's like, ha ha, yeah, I guess so. And Neil deGrasse Tyson slides out from under his bed. Your dad's a liar, Timmy. But bringing it back to Rocket Science for a brief bit, because
Elon Musk.
Yeah, sure. Let's. I wasn't it's going constant, there, but sure. Let's go.
Struggle here is we're constantly trying to bring it back. You know, it's
yeah.
Bring you down from orbit, you might say.
Oh gosh, Yeah, but he's always moving forward.
We have some also, of an elliptical orbit. You know, we get really far, we jet right back.
And we get really close, almost talking on the subject. But no, Elon Musk, he's got all his stuff, Tesla, SpaceX, all his things that he's doing, the Boring Company.
Okay, which, can someone explain to me the Boring Company? Because I haven't had a chance to watch the videos yet. But is it a new company, or is it just like him being funny?
I think it's a legit thing that he's starting.
Well, didn't the guys like, because isn't like Jeff Bezos or one of these other guys like trying to do something that is similar to like SpaceX or something, and said that Elon Musk comes up with boring stuff or something like that? I thought it was like a joke. Like, say,
no, all the Boring Company was him like, I have a solution for traffic.
Right.
You dig tunnels under cities. I'm going to get a tunneling machine and build it and start digging tunnels. Going to call it the Boring Company.
That was that concept. I don't remember the company being in existence at the time, but again, actually on that Star Talk podcast, they'll bring in just kind of sciencey people and talk about stuff that's not, you know, space related, but they had him. And when they were talking about the future and flying cars, he was making the point of like, you could probably do just as much, you know, 'cause you're looking to use the third dimension of up and down, but everybody thinks of up and flying. But like he was saying, he thinks in a major city like LA, you could have 30 layers of tunnels. And I find that hard to believe.
I feel like a bunch, 30 layers of tunnels in LA with the seismic activity that is caused in California sounds like an absolutely horrible idea.
Might not have been LA on further consideration now that I say that, but I think he was talking about California at any rate. So
well, yeah, I guess if that becomes the case, I'm going to have to quote the prophet Kanye West and say, no more parties in LA.
Or at least not, you
thanks
know,
for bringing it easy. That's what we need. But yeah, one, SpaceX is fascinating. Like,
yeah, they're good stuff.
Watching them launch those rockets and then have them land. But I think it was Jeff Bezos. I forget what the name of his company is, but he was the first one to actually get his rocket to land successfully.
Were you joking about Bezos?
Wasn't it him?
Well, no, I mean, that you forgot the name of his company?
Oh, no, I don't remember the name of his company. Oh,
you're talking about Amazon. You're not talking about Amazon. You're talking about...
No, not Amazon. Sorry. I know Amazon, but he has a SpaceX company. Yeah. It's like
Blue Origin.
That's it.
Yeah.
I know Amazon.
I got upgraded internet, and I can actually search for things.
About Blue Origin.
But yeah, I didn't know about, I couldn't remember Blue Orbit. But yeah, they were the first ones to actually get the shuttle, the rocket to land.
Right.
Successfully. Although he was just landing on ground, and Musk is using barges in the water, which, I mean, that adds a whole extra degree of difficulty that I don't quite understand.
I feel like that's risk mitigation.
Because like if it lands and explodes, it's like, well, it's just in the water.
Well, I mean, you could find desolate spaces of land, but yeah, I think it's a lot easier just to say it's out in the middle of the ocean, and if you have an accident, you don't have to worry about, you know, people.
True, but then you have to go get the ship, whereas like you land it in the middle of nowhere in Nevada, which there's a whole lot of that.
There is.
It's a drone ship, man. It's awesome.
And I do have to say, speaking of Elon Musk, that like dream car would be a Tesla. Those things are sick.
I saw a recent wedding that I went to. The drive away car was one of the Tesla SUVs. Those are so cool looking.
They have gull wing doors, yeah. Dude.
My inner DeLorean lover loves it.
Yeah, it's an SUV, but it has gull wing doors. I am 100% in on that. And then I can say it's good for the environment. So it's like it fits, it checks all the boxes, man.
Yeah. And I think, you know, since I'm not driving so much around the Tampa Bay area or around Florida as much, like I really think like the distance isn't really an issue for me right now. And I don't think it's an issue for most because they get like what, 200-300 miles to the tank?
Yeah, it's tank. A, I mean, it's right. the same tank. Amount of like per charge, which like I mean, obviously like it doesn't work necessarily great on like a long distance drive, but for the vast majority of what you're doing, like that'll get you there and back. And then you have your Tesla battery pack at your home with your Tesla solar roofing tiles, and you just recharge it.
See, I thought the roofing tiles was a really cool idea of if you wanted to build like a cabin in the woods that was like...
oh gosh, Brandon, that's creepy.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about like, no, like...
totally disconnected, cut off from everything, just alone in the woods.
Look, I'm having a Unabomber phase, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just stuck with the guy wanting to put solar panels on a house in the woods.
Yeah.
Among super tall efficient. Trees.
Well, look, I'm thinking on like kind of a mountain where you could literally just, I think it would help a lot for, you know, like cabins and stuff like that, for like getaway places and stuff like that, that you really don't have to have.
How hard was it not to say hideaways just now? How hard was it?
Brandon's got his Tesla getaway car to his Tesla getaway cabin that is completely disconnected from everything.
Look, I'm really just want, I really just need to get a British accent just so I can work on my villainness.
Yeah. This is an although, impressive collection of ski masks. What? This isn't really a latitude for ski weather, though. Those
black Mercedes SUVs. You know what I'm talking about. Like, every time I see those, I'm like, oh, yeah, henchmen. Like,
right.
It's true.
All the ones that the Audi commercial says make you blend in.
Yeah.
I appreciated, and speaking of similar things to that, I always appreciated how Jaguar just, like, owned up to it. It's like, be a villain.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So, yeah, rocket science.
Right.
Well, I mean, all three of us grew up, like, I mean, Jamie, you obviously grew up in the middle of the Space Coast, but, like, I grew up going and watching the space shuttle take off and same. With the sonic booms when they would return.
I remember that scared me. The first time I was living in Daytona, and the first time I heard a sonic boom, I was like in seventh grade or something. I'm sitting there like playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 sitting in my room. And all of a sudden, just like literally, I feel like there's an explosion that hits the house. I'm like, I'm running outside. I'm like, what in the heck is that? And I tell my parents when they get home, and they're like, that's a sonic boom. It's that happens here.
Yeah, it's impressive how far the sonic boom goes, because that's the thing. Like, I live living, you know, where I grew up, right across the water from the Space Center. Like, even on liftoff, my windows would shake. But the sonic boom, like, that doesn't happen very far away. But like you said, up in Daytona, you'd get a sonic boom strong enough to scare you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was a lot younger than Brandon, because I moved to Daytona much earlier than you did. But yeah, I mean, we're just out, you know, you're out in the playground. So it was just this loud boom. Like, what?
Well, and the other thing deceptive about the sonic boom is it's like everybody makes a big deal out of the launches because everybody wants to see it. But, you know, it was never as publicized when it was coming back. So it was like people just weren't as aware. And so all of a sudden you're sitting there and it just goes, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and especially as a kid, like, it's not like I was paying attention to, like, well, the special is coming back today.
Right.
Like, we'd go watch them, especially the night launches. Those are always cool. And I mean, even in Daytona, like, go to the beach and watch it, and it just lights up the freaking sky.
Yeah, being able to, like, just walk outside your house and look up and see it is awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
I really hope we get that back at some point of just, like, I'm not, can you see, I wonder, you know, we still got family over there, I guess. Can you see, like, the SpaceX and all that kind of stuff that takes off from there still now?
I'm not down there anymore. So,
I don't
really keep up with how active they are now. There's other things that we launch from there. Trying to remember though, I think like, cause the International Space Station's still up there, but I'm pretty sure every anything manned that's launching has to go through Russia now, which is, you know, peculiar.
But that's going to change with Origin and SpaceX. SpaceX is going to have, like, manned missions in the not-distant future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to get to soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, haven't they?
I have no idea. Go ahead.
I think they've, like, launched, like, with their manned module or whatever on the rocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just need to put stuff in it. But it's but even still, that's pretty awesome. And you think that's like, oh, we're more confident in our drone technology to send it up than trusting humans. It's like the idea of like remote control, like rocket ships, is crazy to me.
Yeah, but that's also, I mean, that's a risk mitigation factor. Because I also remember, what was the shuttle that blew up when we were in, like, eighth grade?
Columbia?
Columbia on the entry, yeah.
Columbia, yeah. So, like, I still remember that and, like, how big a deal that was.
Yeah, that was
it. I mean, there's definitely, like, an aspect of, like, well, it's a drone. Like, oh, no, we lost a robot.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, too, like, we're not – this country, with the exception of like SpaceX starting to, like, we've been out of that for a few years. And, you know, a lot of the obviously probes that go way out into the solar system, they do things like automated and landed on a comet. There's, you know, New Horizons obviously going out way out to like Pluto and stuff. But it's just at the point now where it's like you've got a couple private companies doing it, but for all intents and purposes, they're having to break ground again, you know?
Yeah.
So you're stepping back to like not.
Well,
not
I mean, they're really just breaking. They're breaking new ground because we've never been to the moon.
Ah,
we're not going there.
Stanley Kubrick was right. He hid science in The Shining.
It's a confession. It's a confession tape.
But did you ever see? All, did you see that? Was it Room 237? It was all about.
I haven't seen it. Well, because I've never seen The Shining, so it wouldn't mean anything to me. It would just be all confusing.
So Stephen King hates the Kubrick Shining, but
really,
yeah, it's really good though. So I would recommend, just as far as like a, you know, pop culture history thing, you should watch it. And Room 237 is enjoyable because it's honestly a well done documentary that has the depth of a YouTube rabbit hole where you start ended up watching about how everyone's a reptilian. Like these things.
Oh gosh! Thanks, Alex Jones.
These just sound like it, they're intelligent people making these crazy predictions and like views of what Kubrick actually meant with The Shining. And it was entertaining, to be sure.
Yeah. I know. I've heard good things about it. I know that one of them is the space, like that we faked the moon landing and everything confession. And then there was a bunch of other, like, because there's a bunch of different conspiracy theories about what Stanley Kubrick actually was trying to communicate with that film.
Yeah. So it's fun. So I would recommend it. But I will tell you that there are some terrifying moments in both the original Shining version, and there was also an ABC miniseries version that was actually more terrifying than the Jack Nicholson version.
Really?
Yeah. It had like Rebecca De Mornay and the guy from Wings. What was his name?
I don't know. But we do have to mention that Curly Bill passed away yesterday.
Oh, man. Howard Zinn. So, he was a vice president in 24.
He was a villain on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like he's been a villain in just a lot of great.
Hey, he was the colonel or whatever in Red Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that till yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I saw a lot of that. There was a lot of people's reaction to it was, "Wait, he was in that?"
Yeah. Oh man, he was great in that. Like that's just like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah.
So
well, and that was one of the things there's some times where there are just perfect lines that characters have that you want to like put up as like for social media, like, oh, this is the line that like defined him. And I wanted to put up Curly Bill's line of, well, bye. And I was like, that might be a little bit insensitive.
But yeah, that feels real insensitive.
I was just thinking about the fact that that's the most recognizable thing I can picture with him. And it's like, not the time.
No.
He's just drunk. That's all. I remember. Oh, that's so good. so good. But yeah, no. Yeah. Powers Booth, man. Like, yeah, I remember in 24, he was so good.
Yeah. No, he seemed like a guy that always was real good in whatever he was in, like enjoyable character.
Yeah.
This is a Hollywood podcast.
Hey, don't blame me. Sorry. Maybe you should.
Wait, hold on. Weren't you just saying like, oh, we have to bring up the fact that Powered Booth died? I feel like that was your line.
Yeah, that is my fault.
Don't blame me. I have no reasoning whatsoever for that statement, but don't.
It was me. It was my fault. I was saying don't blame me for it being the Hollywood podcast, but again, I'm the one in California too, so
like, there is,
you know.
All right, snowflake.
Hey. It doesn't snow here, just like it doesn't snow in Florida.
So one issue about rocket science that we haven't discussed is the science of the Rockets, so who are now out of the NBA playoffs.
See, that's funny because I thought you were going to actually bring me back to what I was trying to get to before, and we couldn't. No.
We're going to talk about James Harden's beard.
This is a beard podcast.
Amen. As well, it should be.
Yeah.
That is something we know about. So.
All right. So about the Rockets, I'll dive headlong into this sidebar. I'm doing. Because I just compulsively I have to, you know, compulsively play some kind of fantasy thing. My brother-in-law got me into this group with a bunch of his friends where you do – it's sort of like a survival pool for the NBA playoffs. It actually works kind of cool because it takes into account how you think the real-life playoffs are going to go. You pick somebody every day that there's any games on. But then, and you get points based on their stats or whatever. But you can't have them for the rest of the playoffs. So it's an interesting dynamic because you want to get people who are, you know, stuffing the stat sheet, but who are going to lose that round, ideally.
So, like, you're picking a lot of Giannis early on and, like, Rudy Gobert. Right. And
so where I went, because obviously game one of that series was such a surprising Rockets blowout, I sat tight on that series. And like, that's the other thing is early in the playoffs, if you have like tight series, you can try to avoid playing them because there's, you know, three games a day. But then once the series went 2-2, I was like, all right. So I hadn't taken any really key people in the Spurs and I hadn't taken Harden. And so when it went 2-2, I was like, all right, whoever ends up down 3-2, I'm taking the star player. So who had James Harden in game six?
This guy.
And I've actually it's actually funny. I mean, you guys both know from playing fantasy.
Did football. You apologize to Daryl Morey for cursing them then?
No. It goes way further than that. You guys know from playing fantasy football. Like, I'm a decent fantasy sports guy. I'm knowledgeable about basketball too and stuff like that. The couple of years that I have played this, I am awful for reasons unknown to me. And this year, it's almost laughable how much it's like they've gotten to the point where they're like, hey, Jamie, who are you picking? Because I don't want to pick that guy. the other night, game six, I did the same thing with Wizards and Celtics. I took John Wall, and at halftime, he was 1 of 9 with 3 points.
But he had a good
second half and turned it around. But like, I was messaging the guys at halftime and was like, see, I told you, you guys didn't believe me. It's real.
So I think the best comment about Harden and how bad he played the other night was it said that James Harden looks like one of the guys who just had all his talents stolen by the monster. I'm not sure who that was, but
that was a perfect encapsulation of his game. Because I think I saw that too, and it was with the clip of him like where he had like a wide open three off a screen, and then like. Jumped and then just threw a pass out of bounds.
Yeah,
like
threw it sideways 3 feet to the right of Eric Gordon. Like, didn't just pass to Eric Gordon, like, pass to Eric Gordon's right.
Yeah. Like, he got up like he was going to shoot a three because he was wide open and was like, oh, I don't want to do it.
Well, and the baffling thing to me was it wasn't just like, oh, he was playing his usual aggressive self and ineffectively. He was completely passive. Like, there's no reason for that.
Yeah, it's not like your season's on the line or anything.
I liked one of the another. As much as I try to stay away from talking about current events, here we are. Have you guys seen going around on Twitter lately the Bow Wow Challenge?
Yes, I saw that the first time a couple days ago, and I started dying.
Okay, so Cody, have you seen, you know what I'm talking about?
I saw one guy who had like a Lamborghini RC car that he made it look like it was his car, and he picked it up.
So for the benefit of our viewers, I'll give a rocket fast summary of this. I'm trying to keep us on topic here. So basically what happened was Bow Wow, Lil Bow Wow, I don't know what his name is these days. I don't know what is the Bow Wow's level of maturity is, tweeted a picture of like a private airplane and said, you know, hey, you know, flying to NYC for a shoot or something like that. I don't know what it was. And like 20 minutes later, somebody tweets a picture of him in like a regular like commercial coach seat and is like, hey, Bow Wow just tweeted he's on a private jet, but he's on my plane. And so he had just posted like a stock photo of a private jet or something. So it's become this thing where people post like on the left something that looks nice and fancy and great, and on the right it's like, oh no, it's actually this. And so the night of, because that's going on now, the night of that, you know, Rockets Spurs game six, somebody posted Bow Wow challenge. On the left, it was like the standard James Harden headshot of just his face. And on the right, it was his shot chart.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's always at least good for volume.
Yeah. He took his first shot,
like the Kobe argument that people have.
Yeah, seriously. How are you the like possible MVP? And you take your first shot like halfway through the second quarter of the like the game that could end your season.
Yeah, yeah. I did my best. I got called out by some friends, but I did my best first take impression after the game, and it just was like, yeah, that's not an MVP. Period. Not no.
That was the hot take.
Thanks.
Yep. That was it. Yeah, it was highly controversial. I stepped out and, you know, told the people.
Is there any question that, I mean, best player? I feel like there's no questions LeBron, but as far as MVP, is it's not Westbrook?
Absolutely. No, there's no
it
question.
Should be Westbrook. Yeah.
There's no question.
Thank you very much.
Look at the plus minus stats in the playoffs and tell me that anyone else is the MVP. I'm sorry. Look at Billy Donovan sitting on the sideline going, how long can I live with him on the bench?
Yeah.
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 That was not an easy job to come into for Billy. Like, here you go. It's the last year of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Hope it works out.
Right.
Sam Presti's built you a not so great team.
Well, no, I really wish that the NBA has got to find something to find things more to find parity and competition. Because I mean, I feel like the NFL.
Well, just wait till next year, dude. Lonzo Ball's going to take over. That's all.
Big Ball of Brand.
Would you, Mike Brown? Would you buy $495 shoes for your kids? No.
I would not.
That's what you. No. Just no.
Well, the best thing I ever heard on it was when it was LeVar Ball saying, why are you charging $495? Well, you know, you got people out there that are selling shoes for $200, but it's a luxury shoe brand. You play basketball in it.
Yeah.
Somebody was making the point that even Jordan couldn't sell $495 shoes, and LeVar's comment back to that was, well, Michael Jordan can't sell $495 shoes because he's not Lonzo Ball.
Go ahead.
Well, Lonzo Ball's talented. He has an awful shot. Like, it works. It goes in. But I don't think it's – I don't know how it's going to work in the NBA. And if you're an NBA team and you watched that Kentucky game for UCLA at the end of their season and you watch De'Aaron Fox and wasn't it De'Aaron Fox that just went off on him? Was like,
I think he had like 39.
He's like, oh, you're one of the top two picks in the NBA draft. Let me show you how much better I am. And Ball was just like, whatever. I don't know.
No, I mean, that like
if the Magic didn't the top three, I don't want them taking him.
If you put on that game film and just say, find me the top three NBA draft pick here, you're not saying Lonzo.
No. And that's got to give you pause as a GM. Like, this is the biggest game of the year. Like, where's that competitive fire that says I'm not going to let this guy that, because it was the same thing in the regular season when they played.
Yeah.
One of the things that this comes back to me is it was somebody made this point. I'm not sure if it was Mike and Mike or Bomani or somebody, but I truly agree. It's funny to a point of, you know, LeVar Ball is hysterical. Like, let's be real. He's funny. But it starts to get sad and upsetting when you see that LeVar's mouth is costing his son money.
Oh, like, yeah.
Well,
it's like, you're going to be a top three pick in the draft. You could get a shoe deal.
But the thing is, like, I saw someone talking about it. I think it was on SB Nation. Like, he's got a shoe. I mean, they made like $135,000 in their first day, which, like, it's an independent shoe company selling $495 shoes. Like, that's pretty decent. And he's gotten a couple, I think, I forget. There's a couple of NFL guys that are, like, signed on and bought them and stuff like that. And if the shoe brand does actually work, like, if it does take off with their own independent company, like, Lonzo's going to make bank on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if he's able to sell that much shoe because his dad talks that much and gets that much airtime. I mean, it's, like, it's one of those things. Like, I don't know how much you guys follow MMA stuff, but Conor McGregor, who legit is the best, like, UFC fighter currently. Like, it's insane how good he is. But he talks and walks and acts like a UFC, or not UFC, a WWE heel. Like, he's the villain in a wrestling show. But it puts butts in seats because everybody's like, oh, I can't wait to see Conor get knocked out. And then he knocks the dude out in the first round, like, calls his shot, knocks the guy out, and then's like, all right, who's next?
Yeah. You know who's – so I've started to get into MMA and a little bit. And you know who I love just because he's older, but I love him. He's got a really good podcast, is Tim Kennedy. He's really good. He just re-signed with – I think he's Army Rangers. I think he's like Tim Kennedy MMA, I think is his Twitter handle. It's really good. So – I'm starting to, like, get into MMA, not for, like, watching wrestling and stuff like that, or not wrestling, but watching, like, fighting, because I still don't understand it at all. But, like, seems like good dudes, and that's, like, who are wise and like to beat each other up, which sounds like something awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely, like, especially, like, jiu-jitsu in the background of, like a lot of the martial arts and the whole basis of respect and stuff. There's some guys that, like, aren't that way, and I mean, Conor McGregor's not going to be a shiny example of sportsmanship and such. But there's definitely other guys that definitely, like, seem to have that ethical code. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely like such a weird thing to watch. Like, Mark Munoz was a light heavyweight, like, solid Christian guy. Trains out here in Orange County. He retired. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, but, like, super involved in the church and does a lot of things. And it's just weird to, like, watch, like, guy that, you know, is, like, solid Christian, nice guy, do combat sports and be known for his, like, ground and pound, his ability to wrestle you to the ground and then rain down heavy fists onto your face.
Yeah.
Like,
it's good.
But yeah, back to Rockets.
We're going to rock it back to the center of that conversation.
So only because I'm a square and I've got to talk about this a little bit, because to me it's the most interesting thing about Rockets, the actual science of it. Sorry, guys. You're still hosting this with an engineer.
Actual science.
Like, when people talk about
business, guys.
When people talk about rocket science and it being challenging, here's one of the things that's simple but yet is challenging about actually doing this is – a rocket, basically definition of a rocket, put on my Poindexter glasses, is it's got propellant in it that you light, and by ejecting that propellant lit, you know, on fire, combusting out the back, it ejects some of its mass and propels it forward. But here's the problem. You've got to calculate how much thrust you need to get, you know, the rocket off of Earth and out into space. But if you realize that you need more thrust, you add more propellant, which adds more weight, which needs more thrust. So that's why actually one of the interesting, like I pulled up the actual like rocket equations. That's one of the challenging things about engineering them is you're fighting this whole, like everything, a lot of the innovation for like NASA and actually doing a lot of what the commercial sector has gotten from them is miniaturization of a lot of things because they had to. Like if they want to study stuff in space, they've got to make it lighter because I think I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know that I'm expecting you guys to correct me. I think it's like $10,000 a pound is like round numbers of what it takes NASA to launch stuff into space.
No, I did hear something like that where they were trying, like it was something where it was like NASA, it was like 10,000 or something like that. And then SpaceX, they were trying to get down to like $200 or something like that.
Oh man, if they're able to do that, that'd be incredible. Cause that's just like,
that's why they're trying to do the reusable rocket so that you, that's what all the space shuttle stuff, like it falls off and some of it's sitting up in space. And the other parts are like bottom of the ocean.
Right.
Like none of it was reusable. It wasn't things it's one shot.
Solid rocket boosters, I think were, but I think the external tank burned up, I believe.
Yeah. There was just so much stuff that you couldn't use again. And so that's the whole idea of like the reusable stuff is like that cuts down on your cost because you're not having to just build a holder for your
right
propellant
exactly
every single time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well.
So, okay, here it is. So SpaceX, I was totally wrong. It wasn't 200 pound. It was something like right now it's like $27,000 a pound.
Yeah.
But that's, they're still concerned about the fact that they can put more stuff in the rocket than they're doing right now. They said if it's fully stocked, it could get it down to $9,100 a pound. That's crazy.
How much?
$9,100 a pound.
Wow. From 27,000 if they fully loaded it.
Yeah.
Huh.
That just tells me that you're already spending all the money on the propellant, and if you're getting the cost down by throwing more stuff on it, it's most of that 27,000 is the investment in the ship itself probably then.
So yeah, they did some things with how much it would cost to put into outer space in this article I'm reading, which we can put up on our Twitter handle. It was to put an espresso machine in space would cost $1.9 million.
Yeah.
Worth it.
How much to put the coffee up, though?
You know how?
Whoa, slow down, buddy.
To put a gorilla suit in space would be $39,000. How much for a rocket raccoon suit?
What about like an actual gorilla, though?
Much heavier than a
full grown 800 pound, like, you know.
Look, silver. I know we want to bury Harambe in space.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was picturing a living one, and it was like, yeah, this one's real non-compliant with the astronaut training. Really didn't like the centripetal force machine. Puked everywhere, though. It was terrible.
Oh, speaking of rocket science, so I was in Disney World this weekend, they have this Mission to Mars thing that's in Epcot.
Been a while, but yeah, I've been on it.
So for our listeners who may not know, it essentially simulates the spinning machine that astronauts go through in training, and it makes you feel like you're getting all these G-forces coming down and you're taking off and going into outer space. Well, in this mission, you have like, they try to make it interactive, but really you're just pushing like a button, like one button. Like they divide you up into groups and you've got this one, like, you know, mission thing that you've got to do, and everybody has their own little mission spec thing. And so somebody who apparently didn't speak English all that well got in and was supposed to be like the pilot of our thing, literally pressed nothing and everything turned out all right. And I want, and I got off, and the guy I was with, it was just like, we could have died. You did not take it seriously. The button was flashing, and you didn't press it. And they're saying, now, now, now. So I feel like there's just, you know, some people just don't want to go to space.
I told my kid the same thing when we were on Dumbo.
Press the button.
We could have died.
We could have died. You needed to pull up.
I think, rightly so, I have not gone on the Dumbo ride since I was a wee lad.
Since you were wearing JNCO jeans?
Even before that. Nah, man, my mother would not let me get JNCO jeans, so I got knockoff JNCO jeans.
So much worse. Just so much worse.
Cody, you were there. Like, you remember.
No, I was not there. I did not know you then. I knew you in high school.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Middle school.
That was middle school days. You were way beyond that.
I'm picturing knockoff JNCOs being called like Jean Co., like Jean Company.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was back when I was fond of the Sears Roebuck. You know, when I was high class. Is Sears still open or did they close? I remember hearing something about them closing down stuff.
I want to say they closed. I'm not sure. I know the one back in Titusville closed, but everything closed there. So.
I literally have no idea about Sears and its existence or non-existence.
Yeah, there's no Sears in my immediate vicinity, so I couldn't tell you.
So you could
say Matt Damon show up on your mission to Mars, by the way?
What's that?
Did Matt Damon show up on your mission to Mars
thing? Yeah, somebody left him and we had to go get him. It's kind of like a recurring deal.
The original space pirate.